A new book by some Washington Post journalists will cover the Trump administration's response to the coronavirus pandemic. Stephen Colbert joked, the main detail, there wasn't one. Colbert added, the president wanted to send cruise ship passengers to Gitmo. Think about that for a second. And then joked, so enjoy your beach day with a complimentary head sack, then hit the bar for a bottomless pina colada boarding. And you know, he said he wants to send them to Geronimo Bay or something like that. Of course, the reality star wanted to send them to an island. He probably sent a camera crew too and called it Survirus or something. That is wonderful. Survirus. That's great. Kimmel continued, this is another good McNugget for the book. Trump, they say he was very upset about COVID testing because he believed that positive tests would look bad and hurt his chances of re-election. He had a call with Alex Azar, who was his Secretary of Health and Human Services, and he demanded to know what idiot decided to make the federal government do testing. And Alex Azar was like, do you mean Jared? Colbert, imagine being in that administration and someone calling you the idiot. That's like being in the NBA and your nickname is Tall Guy. Switching topics, Jimmy Fallon, the Olympics are almost here. Organizers announced that venues will be at 50% capacity. That's right, 50%, which means only four people will be allowed to watch fencing instead of the normal eight. Kimmel, Tokyo residents will be allowed to go to the games, but will not be allowed to cheer. And they have to go straight home after. Whoever came up with these rules should win the gold medal for buzzkill. Kimmel, can you imagine going to a live sporting event with no cheering allowed? It's like a Detroit Lions game. Fallon, they also said fans aren't allowed to cheer, although they say that at the beginning of every graduation and parents are still like, Tommy, yeah, you did it. Yay, Tommy. Kimmel has joined Fallon and Colbert. He, too, has audience members now. He's limited at 89 audience members due to, you know, rules and stuff. Those 89 audience members got some gifts. Kimmel promised every audience member tube socks and boiled eggs. So this morning I was on my app and I'm like, how's my Dogecoin doing? Oh, my Dogecoin is not doing well. And that reminded me to dust off these leftover late night jokes I have from a few weeks back. At that time, Donald Trump had called Bitcoin a scam in a recent appearance on Fox Business. Trevor Noah said, I would have thought Trump would have been a huge fan of Bitcoin. I mean, it's a way to both hide dirty money and destroy the environment at the same time. What's not to like? But keep in mind, just because Trump calls it a scam doesn't mean he's against it. It just means he's probably working on his own version. Like I say, there's a 99% chance that by the end of the year, he's going to introduce Trump coin. It might look like Chuck E. Cheese token and you can only use it at Chuck E. Cheese, but that's called the blockchain. Trevor added, Bitcoin is facing a lot of headwinds right now, from increased regulation to the FBI tracking it around the internet like it's a black eye in a department store. The Hollywood Reporter asked Chris Rock, if he had a time machine, would he advise himself against buying that red Corvette with his first Saturday Night Live check? Chris Rock said, oh God, no, I had fun with that Corvette. That guy had a ball. In the sense, there's a lot of talented people and your character is going to get you just as much work as your talent. Like, have you ever had a friend that's a good friend, but you wouldn't want him to date your sister? Like, oh man, this guy's cool, but I wouldn't want him to date my sister. It's important that people kind of like you enough for you to date their sister, to think you're not just a talented person, but someone who's reliable, who has integrity, and who's maybe not an addict. And if people feel that way about you, you'll probably work a lot. Entertainment Weekly had an interesting piece about Suits getting involved with the creative and messing things up. Michelle Buteau talked about her special Welcome to Batopia. She wanted to incorporate improv into the special. Her producers initially thought it was, quote, a waste of time. As EW writes, ultimately that segment, which featured Buteau talking to the audience about her single friends finding love, proved to be worth it just beyond making people laugh. Better than a laugh, I'm like, oh, if I can just have somebody remember something the next time they go out into the world and try to date, then that's the cat's meow. That's the chef's kiss, she says. Jim Gaffigan was talking about Pale Tourist, filmed in Canada and Spain. He tailored his material to land with local audiences. His reps told him that concept, quote, was a real bad idea, believing the set would be too regionally specific, but Gaffigan says that when viewers reached out afterward, they told him they appreciated the way he captured a unique take on different things. Deadline has learned that Pete Davidson is in negotiations to be the romantic lead in a movie called Meet Cute. Deadline says Meet Cute is a wildly inventive deconstruction of the romantic comedy built around the question, what would you do if you could travel to your loved one's past, heal their traumas, fix their problems, and change them into the perfect partner? Pete Davidson will play Gary in the picture. That sounds very Adam Sandler-y to me. Why is Adam Sandler not in this movie other than, I guess, Adam Sandler's 54 years old now and Pete Davidson's a little younger and cuter, I think? Maybe? The Hollywood Reporter caught up with Ed Helms and they said, I've heard you say how much you wish post The Hangover that you could have been part of a movie star mentorship program. You described a setup where you could do brunch with established stars maybe once a month where you'd ask questions about how to navigate your career and fame. What do you wish you knew and how it would have changed your journey? Ed's answer, I had this gradual build of fame or celebrity, if you will, until The Hangover, and then it just became this astronomical thing that was so unfamiliar and in many ways scary. So I've often reflected on how I wish there was a mentorship program for celebrities or some way just to help younger actors navigate some of the circumstances. There's just so much unexpected, and the industry is set up in a way that's sort of sink or swim, like you either know how to do it or you don't, and the thing I wish I had understood more early on is that I should just relax and enjoy some of it and not panic so much. I think when you have a big step up in opportunity, there's a fear that comes with it in terms of making the right choices, and I got a little overwhelmed with that for a period, and it's not worth it. It's a lot of the social stuff. Suddenly you're invited to things that are overwhelming. People don't realize celebrities also get starstruck and feel awkward at times. I certainly still do sometimes. And then your agents are coming at you with things that are exciting, but maybe are competing things like, oh, if you do this, you can't do that. And you're like, but I'm friends with that person. I think they're brilliant. I want to work with that person. Well, you can. I mean, sure, you can do it, but you're going to blow this. And just like, ah, and I have much better tools now, and maybe I'm just more chill as a person. But there was definitely a period there when I was like, I want a mentor. Really interesting stuff from Ed Helms. Quick plug for my new casual travel podcast that is called Travel Is Back. It's where I talk about places I've been and what I like to do when I'm there. I'm not saying it's a definitive travel guide. It's just what I like to do. It is called Travel Is Back. This week, I cover San Diego. Episode 2 was Nashville. Episode 1 was Chicago. Travel Is Back, wherever you get your pods. From the Chieftain, George Lopez is coming to Pueblo on September 25th. And they write, perhaps it's no coincidence that Lopez will be in town just in time for the Pueblo Chili and Frijoles Festival. That sounds amazing. After all, he makes chingon salsa, so he's no stranger to the nuances of good chili. The director of marketing for Memorial Hall said, it's a brand new show with brand new content, which is exciting. And we're glad to be adding a show like this, especially comedy, because it's been a tough year for everyone. It's time to have some laughs. You can come downtown to check the Chili Festival, where there'll be lots of food and entertainment, and then see the comedy show. So this has made me curious, and I have Googled Pueblo, Chile, and Frijoles Festival. Some of the featured events, the Jalapeno Eating Contest, the Chihuahua Parade, live food demonstrations, the Farmer's Market and Chili Roasting, and of course, George Lopez. 3-day festival, September 24th to the 26th, $5 gate admission. And from Queens.com, Zach Petrovic, an Astoria resident, went full speed ahead and gambled on an unexpected offbeat spot in his own neighborhood. He opened a comedy club in the back of Steinway Billiards. That's a pool hall on Steinway Street in Astoria. If you've got a time machine and you can go back to, I don't know, 1988, you might find me there. Queens.com says, stop by, grab a beer, and enjoy great comedy shows at 8:30 every Thursday for just $10. Zach says, when I say outlaw, it's not that we've broken any rules, but the idea of having a comedy show in a pool hall has some people scratching their heads. During this pandemic, a lot of us comics have been aching to get back to work, so when the owners of Steinway Billiards offered up a Thursday night space, we said, hell yeah! Originally, we were in the dining section of the venue, competing with a chess club and older Greek dudes playing backgammon. That actually sounds amazing. That sounds like an Adam Sandler movie. Furiously, it was chaos, but we made it work and eventually moved the show to the current space on the far side of the building, away from the sounds and the people of the pool hall. Steinway Billiards is a local legend, and in the vein of community, Eight Ball Comedy has from the beginning been about supporting local business in the neighborhood as a whole. It's gritty, it's raw, and it's Queens to the core. It's filled a hole for the community here. Eight Ball Comedy isn't flashy, it isn't polished, but it is real stand-up comedy in its purest form, the way it's meant to be seen in a pool hall. Zach says, the best part, 8-Ball Comedy has brought the hang aspect for comics back and created an environment in which the comedians feel comfortable working out their material. A lot of the comics hadn't seen each other in over a year, and it's been tough. Most of the pandemic, we were forced to get very creative with how to work with the new normal. Many of us try to keep busy with outdoor shows or even Zoom shows, but to be honest, nothing is the same as the comedy club atmosphere. It's an inanely human experience and doesn't translate when you're trying to tell your material into a webcam for no audible laughter. If you're on Steinway Street, check out 8 Ball Comedy. Dana Carvey is on Conan tonight, one of the final guests on Conan show. Billy Crystal's on Kimmel. The great Henry Winkler, he's on Fallon. And Josh Gad is on Corden at 12:30 on your CBS. That's your comedy news for today. You can follow this show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. If you would like to support the show, go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. You can throw a couple bucks in the tip jar. I appreciate that in advance. See you tomorrow.